When I reported the conversation and my doubts to Terry Robbins and Billy Ayers back at NO in Chicago, they jumped on me. "How could you succumb to that liberal bullshit?" Terry snarled. "We've got to do it. It's the only strategy that will build the revolution." Terry and Billy had been organizing partners in Ohio and Michigan. Terry was the younger, only 20 years old, and smaller, also the more strident and aggressive. He was the hard cop to Billy's soft, sympathetic manner. The scene plays in my memory like a grade B gangster flick. Billy looks on in smirking contempt as Terry dismisses me with the flick of his ever-present cigarette. "How could you be so weak?" That settled in. Not only was I easily silenced by Terry's, quote, argument, unquote, but I even turned around and used the same ridicule and bullying on others, both inside and outside the Weathermen. In September, at a public meeting of the Columbia SDS, the first of the new year, I paced back and forth brandishing a chair leg I had just used in a brawl with the PL supporters who had tried to crash the meeting. "You can't be soft and wimpy anymore. You've got to be prepared for the revolution," I screamed at the crowd of several hundred students in the auditorium in the basement of Butler Library. "I've got a gun." "Has everyone here got a gun? Anyone? No? Well, you'd better fucking get your shit together." In the audience, I spotted Robert Friedman, my old friend who had been editor of the Daily Spectator. I singled him out. "Friedman, are you coming to Chicago next month? You can't sit on the fence. You can't be a wimp all your life." Robert later told me that was when he realized there was a part of the movement he didn't belong to anymore. That summer, we actually set up tests of our ability to fight in the guise of organizing the potentially revolutionary youth in Detroit. In Detroit, members of the Weathermen Summer Project, mostly students from Ann Arbor, ran down a beach brandishing a Viet Cong flag with predictable results. A gang of teenagers fought them. In Brooklyn, our people invaded a high school and tied up two teachers while haranguing the terrified ninth graders about the need to come to Chicago on October 8th and join the people of the world in their fight against U.S. imperialism. In Cleveland, we started fights at the shopping mall, in which several of our youngest members were arrested and eventually did time in the state prisons. To participate in these actions was to prove yourself a hardened, quote, revolutionary cadre, unquote. In early September, I drove up to Milwaukee from Chicago to join the local collective in a Sunday afternoon organizing march. The Milwaukee Collective, led by John Furst, who had originally founded the SDS chapter at Columbia back in 1966, was made up mostly of students and ex-students from the elite University of Wisconsin in Madison. John had been a graduate student there in sociology after he graduated from Columbia. About a dozen of us met on a second-floor apartment that served as the collective's headquarters and general crash pad. The local leadership proposed that we march down the main street of the white working-class neighborhood where the greasers cruised in their cars. We could win these kids to the revolution by showing them how tough we were. We had gotten about three blocks down the crowded street chanting, "Ho, ho, Ho Chi Minh, NLF is gonna win," when waving the blue, red, and yellow flag of the National Liberation Front of the Vietnam and giving out leaflets about upcoming national actions to startled onlookers, when a group of about a dozen young guys attacked us, going for the flag, and it seemed me. I took some blows to the body and face with kicks to my kidneys. Before I had a chance to react, I blacked out and fell to the pavement. The brawl must have continued around me for a time, but all I remember was a policeman shaking me to consciousness and asking if I needed help.